We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Thanks for downloading the John Contreras Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
97.3 The Fan is proud to bring you high school football coverage. We'll take an in-depth look at what's going on around high school football in the San Diego section with the coach, John Cantara.
This is absolutely fantastic that we're getting the high school football back on the air, because high school football in San Diego is big time.
And Braden Surprenant.
Elion Noah to the near side, cuts it to 35-40, runs right up the hash mark, he goes to the far side, breaks the tackle to 40, 35-30, 25-20, one man to beat, 15-10. Five, reaches the end zone, touchdown Helix.
From player and coach interviews to game picks and breakdowns of the best matchups of the week, we've got you covered on the High School Football Show on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, good evening and welcome to our High School Football Show. Getting on a little bit late due to the extracurricular activity tonight between the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you missed it, boy, it wild, a wacky ending. We'll tell you more about that tomorrow when I'm on 12-3. But the final score tonight was Cleveland 21, Pittsburgh 7. But now we're going to focus in on high school football. We got playoff games tomorrow night. And, of course, we're going to have a big one right here on 97.3 The Fan and the Radio.com app. Two of the best teams in San Diego all year long. You've got Carlsbad going down the freeway with their 9-1 record, an Avocado League championship under their belt, taking on the Cathedral Catholic Dons, who come in at 8-2 on the year, and they won their Western League championship. And we're joined right now by the outstanding head coach of the Carlsbad Lancers, Thad McNeil. And Thad, congratulations on the championship, and you guys have had a little time off. I imagine you're pretty much ready to go tomorrow night.
Yes, we are. We really appreciate you having me on the show. We can't wait for tomorrow night. It's going to be a fun game.
Hey, how did you spend the bye week? Did you give the kids a few days off before you started focusing in on the game?
Last week we went 4 days, and they didn't come in Saturday or Sunday. And then this week we went a full week. So we gave them a little bit of time off, light in practice, changed some of our schedule a little bit. But for the most part, we have a certain schedule that we follow, and we feel like it's going to help us get ready for tomorrow's game.
All right, let's talk a little bit about this year's team, but I want to go back to last year's game. We did the game last year. You guys got beat up pretty good in that game, 35-0 against Cathedral. We've seen you this year. I think you're a much different ball club than you were a year ago. Cathedral, I think, is a little bit different than they were a year ago. Where do you see your team being a little bit better and maybe better prepared to go into that game tomorrow night?
Well, I think first off, we're just more experienced. We started probably 17, 18 juniors last year against a pretty strong senior-oriented team in Cathedral. So these kids have been in this game before. A lot of these kids were in the game the year before when when they came to our place. We've played them four. This will be the fourth time in 5 years we're playing Cathedral. So, I think what's different is our experience. And, we're on a roll. We've had a great year, and it's going to be a great challenge tomorrow night. But I know our kids are ready to go.
We're visiting with Thad McNeil, the head coach, Carlsbad Lancers, ninth season up there with the Lancers. Let's talk a little bit about your junior quarterback, Aiden Sain. We saw him in that Torrey Pines game. He was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, he's come out. He's done a good job. You know, Aiden, I think, is one of the best guys in the county. He's super efficient. He's very, very accurate, and he's had a great junior year. You know, he's got a nice O-line in front of him. Four of them are seniors, and I think he's got the best player in the county to throw to in Cole Wright. So along with some complimentary receivers as well, And then our tailback, DJ Young, has done a great job as well. So, you know, Aiden makes the whole thing go. I'm pretty pleased with the way he's played this year.
You know, I want to get to Cole Wright and DJ Young in a minute, but I want to talk a little bit about your backup quarterback, because when you look at his stats tonight, we saw him, and again, we did that game where you beat Torrey that night 42-7. You brought in your backup quarterback, another junior by the name of Jack Garrity, and he's had a pretty good year coming off the bench. There are very few backup quarterbacks in the county that can say they're 15 of 18 and completing over 83% of their passes.
Without a doubt. And Jack's actually a senior.
Oh, you see, okay.
And Jack's fantastic. He's at any point he can go in the game, and we all feel very confident he can get the job done. You know, he's been awesome this year as the backup, and he has the ability to come in and start and help us win if needed.
All right, let's get to Cole Wright, because we've done about 12 games, I think, this year. We've seen some of the better teams in the county, and I think Cole Wright is as good a receiver as I've seen. He's got excellent hands, I think. You know, not looking at him on tape, just watching a live game. He runs good routes. He's a little bit faster maybe than people think, but he got great hands.
Yeah, he's fantastic. He's a three-year starter. He's an excellent corner as well. And then as a receiver, he kind of has it all. He's been clocked at 4 or 5 flat. He convert 37 inches. He's fantastic. He'll go on and play college football somewhere. And, you know, we're at least going to have him for one more game. He's had a great senior year. He's a 1300 SAT. He's just top shelf. He's one of our captains, and he's been a fun guy to coach, without a doubt.
Who's recruiting him right now? Or some of the Power 5 conferences, or who's going after him?
Well, there's a few Pac-12 schools that he's gonna at least trip to one of them. And then he has a couple offers in the Mountain West, and then it goes down to the Ivy Leagues and Azusa Pacific and UC Davis and all those kind of schools. He's going to have some options. We'll see what happens. You know, he's a really, really good player, and someone's going to be lucky to have him.
You know, you lost a really good player in Noah Vella. I mean, he put on a performance that night in the game that we did, both catching the ball and running it out of the backfield. And I know he's done right now with a foot injury. But tell us a little bit about DJ Young, because he's had a good year, over 700 yards rushing.
Yeah, we're just so lucky to have DJ. DJ is a starter on defense. He's strong safety and just very, very tough, instinctual player. And then he stepped up at tailback and done a tremendous job. And, you know, you don't even know, John, our starting tailback was a kid named Maslow Norwood, and he's only a junior. And he tore his labrum early in the year. And if he hadn't got hurt, you'd be talking about Maslow. So then we lose Maslow, and then the second guy is Noah, who's fantastic, as you saw, and he breaks his foot in the Oceanside game, and then DJ steps up next. So it's just been one of those years. We've been able to withstand some injuries and come out of our tough league undefeated with some great seniors stepping up and playing well.
You know, I really like your offensive line. That offensive line looks a lot more beefy and a lot more physical than they were a year ago.
It really is. You know, a year later, it helps. 4 of the 5 are seniors. They all played against Cathedral last year, and that D front last year was fantastic, as it is this year. And then we have a junior who's will be a national recruit next year, and Dylan Smith. He's 6'6", 290 pounds. So we do have a little bit of more beef. We had a great off season, and that's just the facts. When you get to the open division, everyone's going to be bigger, faster, stronger, so you have to match them.
Thad McNeil, head coach, Carlsbad, our guest here on 97.3 The Fan. Talk a little bit about your defense. I know I read that article the other day on two of your players, but how about Kyle Vassaw? Tell us a little bit about him.
You know, Kyle, I just had such a great senior year. This summer he went to BYU football camp and got the MVP. They offered him a scholarship right after the camp. He put on about 20 pounds in this offseason. He's just a perfect kid. He plays really, really hard. He's super humble. And, you know, we're just really lucky to have him. Our defense has been really kept us in a lot of games. You know, they've carried us in some games. They've kept most opponents under, 14 points, probably our, the average. And, they just play super hard. They play team defense, and it's fun to watch. You know, they have a lot of fun. So,
you guys have had a great
tomorrow,
year.
We got a tough task.
Oh, there's no question. Tell me a little bit about what you see in Cathedral on tape. I mean, you know these guys pretty well. You played them the last couple of years. Talk a little bit about what you're seeing from them.
Well, this is year three in a row that we're playing them, so they know us. We know them very well. Their D coordinator's been there a long time, of course, and of course Coach Doyle. So the great thing about Cathedral is because they're just who they are. They're just really good at what they do, and they put their players in positions where they can just go play and not have to think. It starts with that O line. They're so physical up front, and last year they had that fantastic back in Puma, and this year they have a couple other complimentary backs that are really, really good. DJ Rolfe, that's a big loss for them. He's had a great year, and I think he's a fantastic high school quarterback. Then you look at their defense. They play fast. They're very physical. They're very disciplined. All around, they're just very strong. Their kicking game's very good. They got a great kicker. They're going to be a really good challenge for us tomorrow, and we can't wait for the opportunity.
Well, Thad, I appreciate you staying up tonight. I know you got a lot of things on your plate. Thanks so much for the time, and we're looking forward to being there and calling that ball game tomorrow night. And good luck.
Hey, I appreciate it. I appreciate everything you do. We'll see you tomorrow night.
All righty. There you go. Thad McNeil
has reverted back to that. Just too many mistakes. We talk about taking care of the little things, and we just didn't take care of it that night. And Lincoln's a good football team. You can't do that. You can't do that against most opponents, but definitely not a team like Lincoln.
Tell me about your defense. Have you been happy, for the most part, the way the defense has performed this year?
I've been real happy the way they perform. It's a very young defense across the board, they have really grown into their own, and they're excited for the challenge tomorrow. They know it's going to be a great challenge. Carlsbad's got a good offensive. They got a good football team, but, as far as defense, they got a good offensive team. They know they got a lot of weapons they have to stop with their wide out and the running back, and the quarterback does a nice job with that big offensive line in front of them.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about the playoffs, and, I think they got the right teams, and I'm not going to, get into that conversation, because I think the four teams that deserved to be in the open division got in, and I think for the most part everyone was happy. I know Point Loma wasn't real happy with what happened to them, but as far as the open division, I think you got the four best teams in the county. But I wanted to ask you about the bye week, and then you play 2 weeks in a row, and then if you win the open division title, you have another bye before the first state game. How do you like that? Because you're a guy that's gone through it.
It really wasn't. It's to me, it's not too bad. Again, have been through it. The kids kind of were used to it. And last year was crazy because we had the game shortened by the lightning. I think we got a quarter into that game, and then the next week, Lincoln unfortunately didn't have enough healthy players for us. We had a bye there. Then a game, then a bye, then two games, and a bye. And because of the fires in Northern California, we had a bye between the Southern Section, championship, whatever they call that, and the state finals.
Right.
So, the kids start getting used to it, and as long as you keep them focused, they're good. I think the rest for their body is good. 15 games for high school kids is a lot of football games. So any extra time they have to rest and recover is good for them.
Now, do you bring players up from your JV team normally to let them practice and kind of get a feel what it's like?
We do. We bring from JV and freshmen, and they do a great job. It's a lot. Sometimes I just look at the sideline and see how many kids are over there, and oh, my goodness. But the kids, I think it's good for the kids to go through the run. Then next year, when we're in that position, they've kind of been there a little bit, even though they don't get on the field, they just have the feeling of what it takes to do it and to get things done. So, it's good.
Sean Doyle, our guest here on 97.3 The Fan. Last question. Braden and I, we did the game last year. You guys beat Carlsbad, beat them up pretty good, 35-0. We've seen Carlsbad earlier this year. This is a different football team. This is a lot better team than I saw a year ago. What are you seeing on tape?
Same. Like I said, they defensively, they got a lot of kids that get after it and get to the football. You know, offensively, like I said earlier, they just have a lot of weapons that they can go to. So we have to play our best to get there. You know, we've played a couple games this year where we haven't done that and haven't had the results that we have wanted. So we know what they have to bring, and we just have to take care of business. And if we do, you know, all you can do is lay it on the table at this time in the playoffs, you know, especially in the open division. You're not going to get a bad team, and our kids know it. So I think we're ready. We'll find out tomorrow at 7 o'clock.
All righty, Coach. Well, hey, thanks for the time. Good luck, and we'll see you tomorrow night.
Sounds great. Thank you guys very much.
There you go. Head coach Sean Doyle, the Cathedral Catholic Dons, of course. I want to remind everyone, coming up in hour number two, we'll have game reports from break down some of the playoff games around North County and East County. Braden and I'll take the rest of it. We're going to 11 o'clock here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan, and we go from a couple of coaches to now the president of the California Coaches Association, and I'm a big fan of his, and I know he listened to me quite a bit as a youngster when he was playing high school football at Fallbrook. Great to have Coach Chris Fore on the program. Chris, how are we doing tonight?
Hey, doing real well, Coach Quintero. Thank you for having me.
Hey, your Fallbrook Warriors, they're in a rebuilding mode up there right now.
Yeah, they certainly are. You know, I'm real excited about the fact that the freshmen this year were 10-0.
Wow.
You know, some of my teammates have kids playing on that team, and there's a lot of excitement up there at Fallbrook with what Coach Troy's doing and rebuilding that thing and hopefully, you know, building it for the long haul here.
Hey, Chris, I love having you on because, I mean, you really have your fingerprints on coaching here really all over the state. But, you know, primarily you live in Southern California and you're in administration. And, you know, tell the fans what you do, your regular job day in and day out. I mean, you got to go to school. You got to wear a tie every day, don't you?
Yeah, well, not every day, fortunately, Coach, but yeah, a few days a week. Yep, I'm an assistant principal right now, and that's a job I absolutely love. I basically oversee athletics, ASB, and discipline. Good chunk of the day is discipline, but still get to have my finger in athletics, and that's a really great thing about my job right now.
Hey, tell the fans where you actually work at.
Yeah, I'm at Yucca Valley High School out here about 30 minutes north of Palm Springs.
Well, you're doing a good job. You've been there a few years now, too, haven't you?
Yes, sir. Yep, this is the second year here.
Second year in that position. But you're the president of the California Coaches Association. And the thing that I love about you, you're always looking to mentor coaches, young and old, anybody that reaches out for help. You're always really good at it. I thought this is a great time of year to have you on. You can kind of let us know what's going on out there as far as maybe some turnover. And, you know, this time of year, we start seeing coaches retire, not being asked to come back. You got young coaches who would like to maybe go for that first interview to become a head football coach at a high school. And, yeah, I just thought it'd be kind of nice to maybe let people know a little bit, maybe some of the tricks of the trade for young coaches, how they go about getting to that next step and when they should know maybe when they're ready for that next step.
Yeah, great question. I know I've been studying this, doing a lot of research. This is my fifth year of tracking every head football coach change here in Southern California, more than 600 schools. You know, San Diego down there has 97 high schools playing football, both 8 and 11 man. And, you know, just in the last 2 years, there have been 24 head coach changes in San Diego. So you're looking at, you know, a quarter of the head coaches down there have changed over in the last 2 years. Right now, there's only one on the board, Scott Coates over at Poway, you know, announced a little while ago he'd be stepping down at the end of their season. But, you know, that'll grow to probably 20 coaches or so. And then obviously when the head coaches change out, you know, sometimes that staff will change out too. And Coach, I think, you know, the best thing that young coaches, guys who want to get in and maybe be a head coach one day, need to do is really put their head to the grindstone and really just start working their tails off. And I think that's a little bit of a lost art these days. You know, I was speaking with a coach recently. He's coached for 5 years, and he thinks he's ready to be a head coach. You know, and I said, well, what have you done, you know, in that program the last 5 years? And he's like, well, I'm the wide receiver coach. And I said, okay, what else have you done, you know, as the wide receiver coach? And he said, I just told you I coach wide receivers. And he's missing the boat, you know. There's so much that goes into coaching high school football. You know, if you're just a wide receiver coach, you should be doing laundry. You should be doing film breakdown. You should be doing fundraising. You should be doing anything and everything possible to help that head coach, one, to alleviate, you know, his workload, but two, so that you can learn what the job's really all about.
I think that's very good advice right there. And by the way, you can follow Chris Four at Coach Four, at Coach Four. And again, he's the California Coach Association president. That's a big title. And tell you what, they just don't give guys that title. You got to earn that title. So congratulations on that one.
Thank you, Coach. Yeah, it's, again, you know, I love being able to serve coaches. Coaches need support these days, I think, more than ever. Unfortunately, you know, they just got a lot of enemies out there coming from every angle. And so the more that we can do and pull together as a brotherhood and sisterhood to help each other out, the better, you know, coaching. And then at the end of the day, the better student athletes will have it.
Hey, Chris, you know, a couple of things I wanted to ask you tonight. You know, there's some good young coaches down here in San Diego, and, you know, they've been coaching maybe at that school for 2 or 3 years, and, you know, then they maybe want to, you know, move to a bigger school or maybe, a different school district. What's the average of a coach that maybe's got, you know, tenure at a high school for 3 or 4 years and he wants to move somewhere else? How many years will a district normally give?
Yeah, that's a great question and something a lot of coaches overlook. You know, you're looking at usually about 7 or 8 years is about average out there, mm-hmm. You know, as to how many years you're going to be able to move if you're a teacher, take from one high school district to another. And, you know, there's some school districts out there that, you know, they'll take only as little as 3 years. They're going to max out, you know, they're only going to give you 3 years on that salary scale because, you know, it's such a great district to be in. The supply and demand is so great for teachers there. It's on the side of the district. And so they're going to say, hey, you want to come Torrey Pines High School, for instance, you know, I think they're 3 years. They'll only give you 3 years on that scale. So a guy who's been coaching, you know, maybe 10 or 12 years and wants to go to a school like Torrey Pines or, you know, Poway is another one, those real nice areas, they don't give you as many years as some of the less desirable, you know, districts to be in that might give you up to 15 or 18 years on that salary scale.
I'll tell you what, you get what you pay for, and boy, it'd be hard. And Torrey Pines got a great coach now and a guy that isn't a teacher but is on campus full time. He had a business and has done very well in his his private business, and you know, he's a heart and soul guy. He's done a great job up there at Torrey. But but other districts, I mean, if you're only given 3 years, boy, that really narrows the playing field. You're getting a lot of coaches with inexperience.
Well, you look at Del Norte High School, you know, that's a school that will give you 3 years on that scale the last time I checked. And, you know, since Coach Ralph, you know, had a real good start at that school when he opened it up, Jerry Ralph.
Mm-hmm.
But ever since then, they've had a tough go of things. When you look at the history, you know, since he's left, I'm not sure that they've had a winning season. And so when you're looking at a pool of, you know, hey, here's guys – you know, you're only going to be able to pay a guy, you know, on that, put him on the fourth rung there on the ladder. Yeah, your pool is not going to be very good. And then, you know, and then you see turnover happening because, you know, it's like, which came first, the chicken or the egg, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You get a coach in here who's not real experienced because he can, you know, has to take a pay cut to go to a place just to be a head coach. And then they're going to have a lot of issues, you know, oftentimes.
I want to let everyone know that Chris Four here a year or so ago wrote a great book. I mean, a fantastic book. I've got it right in my hand right now. Building Championship Caliber Football Programs Inside the Locker Rooms and the Minds of State Champion Head Football Coaches. Talk a little bit about this book and tell people how they can get this.
Well, what I did years ago was I interviewed 106 state champions from 42 different states, you know, all over the nation. I asked each of those guys, you know, three questions. What's one thing you do differently in your, you know, your area to have the success that you've had? And what's, you know, one piece of advice to a young head coach who wants to, you know, win a state championship? And I took all these answers to all their questions, and I categorized them and you know, put them all on an Excel document and kind of developed a blueprint, the 10 common characteristics of state champion football programs. And so it was really neat to talk to these guys. I mean, some of the nation's best coaches, all the way down to Little Snake River High School in Wyoming, an eight-man program you've never heard of, and to look at, okay, what are the common things these guys are doing, you know? And then basically wrote a chapter on each of those. And what I really enjoy about the book and what most the positive feedback I get guys really like about it is it's these quotes from all these coaches interweaved throughout that book to kind of serve as a roadmap for success. And yeah, I've got that. The Coach's Choice is the publisher, and you can get that on my website at 8laces.org.
You know, I'll tell you, my favorite chapter in this book, and I mean, it's a great book. I mean, I've read your book. You sent it to me last year, and I read it, and I have to go to chapter 8. Mental toughness, getting the mind right. That was my favorite chapter because I'm not sure a lot of athletes, and I'm not even sure coaches sometimes really have that mental toughness the way I think you need to be a champion.
Yeah, and I think at the high school level, coach, that mental toughness is just so overrated and overlooked by coaches. They just, you know, so many coaches, we spend all our time on the X and O's part thinking that's where we're going to gain an advantage. And if you go out to any clinic this off season, you're not going to see one clinic on how to develop mental toughness. You know, I've been going to clinics for 20 years. I've never seen it taught at a clinic. But it is one of those things that you have got to learn how to, first of all, understand that definition. And that's what I kind of finally came to about halfway through my coaching career, was really understand that definition and then be able to teach it to your kids. And boy, it's just one of those things that I think, you know, not nearly enough high school coaches in any sports really think about. I think mental toughness is something that can really take you over the edge as a football program. I talked to a coach tonight who down in San Diego, who, you know, our team struggled a little bit this year and they were a little on the younger side. And it's one of the things we talked about was how to develop that mental toughness in his kids here in the off season, because it's definitely an underutilized tool.
Chris Four, my guest here, the president of the California Coaches Association. I want to stay on that here for the last question, Chris. You know, I think mental toughness, part of it's embedded, I think, in coaches and in athletes to a degree. There are other kids that may take a little bit longer. You can pull it out of them. But the thing that I'm seeing, you know, being around a lot of games and calling games, a lot of the way the kids have to practice, all the rules that have been put in, it's hard to have that good physical, mental-type practice these days because there's so many limitations on what you can do in practice.
Yeah, there certainly are. And so you got to look as a coach for other ways. You know, my first year as a head coach, 2003, you know, we practiced 6 hours a day during training camp, you know, two-a-days, your standard old two-a-days, just like you used to do, coach, right? And yeah, that part of it's gone. So as coaches, we need to look at ways to build the mental toughness without that physical toughness. And I really think that starts, you know, in January with your kids by just goal setting. You know, goal setting with your kids, bringing them back to those goals, individual goals, team goals, so that you can start to build that mental toughness in them, you know, from day one when you start ramping up in January for the next season. And then looking for ways to get them to compete and setting them up for success mentally during your practices, you know, starting in January. And then just carrying that whole mindset, you know, how can we get our kids to find, jump over those mental hurdles in practice to find success. And you got to manufacture that stuff, but coaches definitely, I think, you know, need to start thinking a little more critically about how to build that mental toughness without the physical toughness aspect of it.
Chris Fohr, thank you very much. Again, throw out the website and how they can get this book as well.
So yeah, it's at, Coach, it's 8laces, EIGHTLACES.org.
And they can get the book off of that as well, correct?
Yeah, yep. They can order the book there or any of our job search information, and they can find my contact there. Coach, I'm more than happy to help any coaches out there listening on their career search, and I think that's something I'm real passionate about. Not a lot of guys have that kind of direction, and let me know how I can help.
Hey, good stuff, Chris. Always a pleasure, my friend. Continued success.
Coach, thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to talk tonight.
Hey, you're welcome, and that's why I love Chris Fohr, because he's got passion, man. He wants to make guys better, whether they're players or coaches or kids that he's an administrator at that up there in Yucca Valley. Good, man. Those are the kind of guys I like in education, because they're going to make the youth of tomorrow a little bit better. Top of the hour, a quick timeout. We're going to come back. Braden's going to be joining me in the next hour. We're going all the way to 11 o'clock, and when we come back, we're going to start jumping around, take a look at all the big playoff games tomorrow night in San Diego. Thanks for joining us. This is the High School Football Show on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Thanks for downloading the John Quintero Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.